Today we are going to start a new series called Elementary Principles. There's a tagline below that which says back to school. Many of our children have already started going back to school, maybe some of us going back to college. And it's a good reminder for us, especially during this period of time, to focus on the elementary principles. Elementary principles. The word element is the simplest component of a complex substance. The word element is the simplest component of a complex substance. You don't need to get into complexities right now. You just need elements. Elementary meaning basic, or for that matter, the first principles that are essential. And sometimes we may need to go back to school to be able to really focus upon the things that are important for us. This is primarily taken from Hebrews chapter 6 verses 1 to 2. You can note it down. Hebrews chapter 6 verses 1 to 2. That is the theme verse for this series. Maybe you have heard this verse, you have read this verse, but may the Lord enable us to learn something new, afresh from His living word, or get reminded of something that we already know. Let us read from our Bibles, Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 to 2. As I read it, you can read it in your own language aloud, please. Therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about the Christ, let us press on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of instruction about washings and laying on of hands, and the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. When you read this, probably you understood something, maybe you didn't understand anything, but let me try to put the same verse in a bulleted format for us to better understand it. This is taken from the New King James Version. Let us look at that. And these words that we pick it up are biblical, let me tell you. Elementary principles are not my own coined word. These are biblical. Different translations might use different words, but I picked it from the New King James Version. Shall we all read this together aloud, please, this time, as it is projected? Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. Now you see, the same thing, if you try to see it in a manner that you may be able to understand better, there are six elementary principles that are mentioned here that we need to go on to perfection or maturity, having passed through all these six grades. Most of the places where we have our kids go to school, they have kindergarten, first, second, third, fourth, fifth. How many grades are there? Total classes. Kindergarten plus five, six. These six elements are essential for us to pass through the elementary school to move on to perfection or maturity, to the middle school, college, and many other things. If we haven't gone through these individual levels, then we have to go back. We have to go back to school and say, what is it? I've lost something. Maybe I missed something in between. Maybe I'm still staying in number one, or maybe I'm still staying in grade two. Next year, academic year, again grade 2. Following year, grade 2. Why? Why not go to grade 3? When you go back to school, when your children go back to school, which grade do they go to? The next grade. And that is what you and I should be able to learn from this. Today we are going to meditate on the first one. But going forward, as the Lord leads us, that we may be able to finish, not in 6 years, but hopefully 6 weeks, that we'll be able to finish these elementary principles, to ensure that if you have already passed through them, praise God. If you haven't passed through them, let us go together and go through these things. Let us read the same passage, Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, in a Hindi language. Let us read this. Probably most of us might know the Hindi language. Let us read it. Isliye, aao, masih ki siksha ki aarambh ki baaton ko chhodkar, hum siddha ki aur badhte jaye, aur mare huye kaamon se man firane, aur parmeshwar par vishwas karne, और बापतिस्मों और हाथ रखने और मरे हुए के जी उठने और अंतिम न्याय की शिक्षा रूपी नेव फिर से न डालें। वी नीड टू पास थ्रू दिस। We need to go through this successfully enough to go on to maturity. Let us read this in a Telugu language. Let us read this together, please. Kabatti nirjeeva kriyalanu vidachi maru manasu pondutayu devuni andali viswasamunu baptismamulanu gurchina bodayu hasta nikshepanamunu mrutula punardhanamunu nityamaina teerpunu anu punadi marala veyaka క్రీస్తుని గూర్చి మూలోపదేశము మాని సంపూర్ణమగుటకు సాగిపోదము. సో దిస్ ఇస్ టాకింగ్ అబౌట్ మూవింగ్ ఫార్వర్డ్. బట్ ఫర్ అస్ టు మూవ్ ఫార్వర్డ్, వీ నీడ్ టు పాస్ త్రూ దిస్. వీ నీడ్ టు హ్యావ్ ద బేసిక్ ప్రిన్సిపల్స్ టు బి వెల్ ఎస్టాబ్లిష్డ్. ఇఫ్ నాట్, లెట్ అస్ మేక్ ష్యూర్ దట్ వీ డూ దాట్ అండ్ మూవ్ ఫార్వర్డ్ ఇన్ టు పర్ఫెక్షన్. దట్ ఈస్ బీన్ అవర్ ప్రేయర్ యాజ్ అ లోకల్ చర్చ్ ఫర్ దిస్ పర్టిక్యులర్ పీరియడ్ ఆఫ్ టైమ్. During this sermon series, our prayer is that the Lord would enable us, every one of us sitting here, to be able to make sure that we pass through all these elementary principles and say, I'm done with this. I'm thankful to God I've gone through these steps. And maybe it's an examination for us whether we have gone through these 6 steps or not, in terms of an understanding as to what is these basic doctrines or elementary principles of Christ, elementary doctrines or teachings, it says in some of the translations. As we start this new series, let us pray that the Lord would enable us to learn things from His Word. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for enabling us to come together and have this new series begin from today on elementary principles, the teachings or the doctrines of Christ. We pray, Father, that You may speak to us afresh. Lord, we might have come with different thoughts, different frames of mind, but Lord, help us to recognize, Lord, there are certain things that are elementary and we need to make sure that we go through them. So we ask You, Lord, that You may speak to us, not my words, but let Your words come through me, whatever You have been teaching me. Lord, help me, Lord, to share it, Lord, in such a manner, Lord, that it would cause an impact or change or a transformation in each one of our lives, that we may leave this place with something that we were able to learn and to be able to move out of this place joyfully to apply these in our personal lives. So we ask all this in the precious name of our dear Lord and our beloved Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. For today's sermon. The sermon is titled Repentance from Dead Works. There's a key verse that I want us to see from Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. I will read it in New American Standard Bible. I think you have it in your sermon notes. You need to fill in the blanks. You need to fill in the blanks from Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. As I read it, you can fill in the blanks as well. Therefore, repent and return so that your sins may be wiped away, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. I repeat, therefore, repent. The first word is repent. And return. R is already there. You don't need to write the R again. And return so that your sins may be wiped away, in order that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Why do we ask you to write it down? When was the last time we wrote it? Sometimes it's always good to be the students of the Word of God. When we write, we have a better concentration. If we just read it and hear it, sometimes we don't even want to look at our Bibles, we just want to hear. The more we have more concentration when we view it, not only when we listen to it, but view it and write it as well. And that is the whole reason we are asking you to put it on paper. As you put it on paper, you will hopefully remember it much better than when you just listen to it. And especially these kind of verses, easy to remember, 3 R's. Repent, return, refreshing. Yes, what a wonderful statement this is. And today, repentance from dead works is what we are going to learn about. The word repentance. The word repentance in Greek is metanoia. You don't need to remember this word, but I just want to give the word that is used in the Bible for repentance is metanoia. You can note it down. A change of mind leading to a change of action. That is what repentance is. change of mind leading to change of action. That is a typical generic way of defining metanoia, which is repent. As it appears to one who repents of a purpose he has formed or for something he has done. Some thoughts, some ideas, ideology that has come in the mind. Or we have done something and we realize that we have not been doing it right. So we have a change of mind that causes a change of heart in order to be able to do and have a change of action. Change of mind. It's all about change. It's all about change. In Telugu, it's called Maru Manasu. Manasu Marali. Mind should change. If there is no change of mind, then we can't call it a repentance. And that is the basic one, the first and foremost thing that the Bible talks about, the elementary principles, basic principles. Sherlock Holmes, you know the stories, how the Sherlock Holmes, he writes down some, kind of investigations, something kind of stories. He has a secretary, his name is Dr. Watson. And probably you might have read some stories about it. And after everything is over, after the investigation is done, and they find the culprit, and they say, wow, Dr. Watson comes and says, excellent, Sherlock Holmes. And Sherlock Holmes says, elementary, dear Watson, just elementary. It's simple. And I didn't really do much. It was just straightforward. And somebody made a story out of this and said, it seems Sherlock Holmes had to find out Adam and Eve in a big group of people. And within a short time, Sherlock Holmes identifies Adam and Eve. And Dr. Watson says, excellent, excellent, Sherlock Holmes. How did you manage to identify Adam and Eve? And he said, elementary, dear Watson, these two people don't have navel. In a sense, Buddha and they don't have, because they were never born. And that is how I identified. Elementary. The word elementary that is used is simple. Let's not complicate something that is simple. Many times we tend to complicate the word of God. Word of God is elementary. We need to be able to make sure that we understand these elementary things from the word of God. Change of mind leading to change of action. That is what repentance is. Think of a husband and wife in a car. And they were supposed, at the intersection, they were supposed to go to the right. Wife is telling, go right, go to the right, right, go to the right. We have to take a right here. And the husband takes a left. And he starts driving. And then he realizes, I think I went in the wrong direction. He says, I'm sorry, dear. I think I should have just gone to the other side. And he starts driving. He says, sorry. And he's still driving in the wrong direction. What should he do? He should take a U-turn. So let us see that. There is a dead end. There is a dead end, and we need to take a U-turn. And the U-turn is what a repentance is. Repentance means taking a U-turn. Next time when you take a U-turn somewhere, maybe you lost the way and you realized that you needed to take a U-turn. If you are on a highway, you might take an exit and take all the way and get onto on the other side. If you are going on the wrong direction and you realize that you are going in the wrong direction and keep saying, sorry, I'm sorry. I'm feeling bad that I'm going in the wrong direction, and you're still going in the wrong direction, what will happen? Dead end. We need to be able to take a U-turn. GPS says that, right? Take a U-turn wherever possible. Take a U-turn wherever possible. Why? Because you're going in the wrong direction. And when you're going in the wrong direction, we need to be able to ensure that we listen to the right way. To listen to the way in which we need to be able to go, get on to the correct side. To come here, maybe you have come from Virginia, you have taken a 270 north. If you have been going the other way, then what will happen? You will never reach the destination where you need to be able to reach. And that is very important, my dear. Here it says, repentance from dead works. Repentance from dead works. The word dead works, it doesn't necessarily mean bad works. Remember, there is a difference between good works and dead works. Dead works. dead works can, from a worldly perspective, be good works. For example, a person has been doing a great service, trying to do charity, or they are doing many wonderful things, but without Christ, those works are dead. And that is what we need to understand. There's a French philosopher by name Blaise Pascal. Probably you must have heard Blaise Pascal. It's believed that he said, there are only two kinds of people in the world. The righteous, who understand themselves to be sinners, and the sinners, who believe themselves to be righteous. The righteous, who understand themselves to be sinners, and the sinners, who believe themselves to be righteous. There are only two kinds of people. Some people think that they are fully right, they are doing everything right, but they don't realize in the sight of God, it is not right. It is sinful. And that is what we can learn from the scriptures. Today, I want us to be able to focus upon this repentance. Maybe you have never believed in Jesus Christ. For you, it will be an experience of salvation. And maybe you have believed in Lord Jesus Christ. This repentance will help you in sanctification. You see that? An unbeliever, to become a believer, repentance helps in salvation experience. And for a believer, repentance is needed for sanctification. You see the difference? Because even a believer is bound to fall into sin. And he needs to repent of those things that they have committed without Christ. Lord, I have thought that I was doing it for myself. I need to be sanctified. I need to take a U-turn. That is why 1 John 1:9 was given for believers. If we confess our sins, he's just and faithful to forgive us of all unrighteousness. We need to be able to take a U-turn. So maybe each one of us, maybe in any of these two categories, never believed in Jesus Christ as your Savior, or having believed in Lord Jesus Christ, we may still be going in a direction where we need to take a U-turn. The Bible talks a lot about repentance. As I was meditating on the scriptures, Jesus Christ has mentioned the word repentance umpteen number of times, including before Jesus came in, when John the Baptist in Matthew chapter 3, when he started his ministry, the first word that he used in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 2. Could you please read Matthew chapter 3 and verse 2? Paraloka rajyamu samipinchuchunnadi, maru manasu pondadi, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John the Baptist said that. And when Jesus came into his ministry, the first thing that he did in chapter 4 verse 17, let us see that. Chapter 4 and verse 17, what does it say? Please read. Same words. Paraloka rajyamu samipinchuchunnadi, maru manasu pondadi, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John the Baptist said that in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 2. And Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17. Jesus, the first words that came out of his mouth when he began to preach. When he began to preach, the first word, if at all, if you want to notice from the scriptures, the first word that came out of his mouth was repent. It is so important. That is the first thing that you and I need to have, the experience. If we do not have that personal experience of repentance, that means we haven't been able to go through the elementary principles. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus has been talking about this over and over and over again in order to be able to let people know. Let us see that also in Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5 and verse 32. Luke chapter 5 and verse 32. Please read. Jesus told the reason why he came into this world. The whole purpose of him coming into this world was for repentance. If not for repentance, what is the purpose of Jesus coming into this world? I have not come to call the righteous, the so-called righteous people. The so-called people, they are thinking they're doing right. But Jesus says, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Sinners to repentance. Only if somebody recognizes that they are sinners, would they be able to say that they need to repent. Unless and until you realize that you are going in the wrong direction, that is when you feel sorry and take a U-turn. If you don't think that you are going in the wrong direction, you keep going to the dead end. Many times, many people of this world do not realize that they are going in the dead end way. There is an end, and that end is leading to death. And we need to be able to repent from those works that lead us to death. The wages of sin is death. Dead works, the works that causes death forever. And that is what Jesus is telling here, that we need to be able to learn that he has come into this world for sinners to repentance. Let's go back a couple of chapters before. Luke chapter 3. And there also you see that John the Baptist has been focusing on it in verse 8. He says, therefore, bear fruits in keeping with repentance. When there is repentance, there will be a fruit. There will be actions where you would know that you have repented. If there is no fruit of repentance, we need to question ourselves. It's like this. I'm feeling sorry. I'm going in the wrong direction. What is the fruit of repentance? Have you taken a U-turn? If you haven't taken a U-turn, then there is no fruit of repentance. It is only feeling sorry. I'm feeling sorry, but still going in the wrong direction. How long are you going to go in the wrong direction? The longer you go, the longer it takes for you to come back. And that is what it is essential, that the earlier you take a U-turn, the earlier you will be able to enjoy the presence of the Lord and the blessings of the Lord and be able to grow in him much more. But the longer you are going in the wrong direction, many people are like that. There are two kinds of people. One who tend to keep going in the wrong direction and they don't know that they are going in the wrong direction. They think they're going in the right. And there are some people who know that they're doing wrong and still continue to do wrong. And we should be cautious of that important thing. And here also in Luke chapter 13, the book of Luke talks a lot about the repentance. Luke chapter 13, Jesus tells about certain people who died. And in verses 1 to 5, the people come and say, hey, some Galileans were killed, and do you think, what is your response to it? And Jesus replied in verse 2, do you suppose that these Galileans were greater sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered this fate? Just because somebody is dying, do you think that they are worse sinners than you? Verse 3, I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Please read in any other language. 13:3. Nashinturu, if we do not repent, we are going to go in the dead end. Dead end means destruction, perishing. And that is what the Bible says in John 3:16 also, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Nasimpaka nitya jeevam pondinatlu. So repentance is to be able to make sure that we take a U-turn and come out. And again, Jesus says in verse 5 also the same thing. Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Jesus has come into this world to preach repentance. He's told that we need to repent of our sinful nature. And you and I should have that similar kind of experience. Luke chapter 15. There are three stories that are mentioned. Jesus gives three parables. Luke chapter 15. Lost sheep, lost coin, and the lost son. Very, very well-known stories. Even children would say in their Sunday school. Luke 15. Lost sheep, lost coin, lost son. You know what happened to the lost sheep? Out of the 100 sheep, one of the sheep was lost. And this shepherd goes and searches and finds that lost sheep. And he comes and says, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. And in verse 7, what does Jesus say with all this? He said, I tell you that in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 so-called righteous persons who need no repentance. They don't realize. They are thinking they're doing right. They're self-righteous. And these people, they don't realize, they don't recognize that they need repentance. Over one sinner who repents, that one lost person, the moment he realizes that he's lost, Jesus is there to seek and save that which was lost. Many times we don't recognize our lost nature. Again, the coin. You know the coin. Out of the 10 silver coins, she loses one coin. And when she searches for it, she finds it and rejoices with everyone. And again in verse 10, what does Jesus say? Please read verse 10. Yes, there is rejoicing when there is a one sinner who repents. And the third story about the lost son. We'll spend a little time on this. Again, you might say, oh, prodigal son, lost son, what is there to learn from these stories? Let me tell you, God's word is so wonderful that he reminds us many truths from the same known story. You don't need mysteries here. You just need to know the story, what it talks about. A man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me." So he divided the wealth between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey to a distant country where he squandered his estate with loose living. The son chose to go in the wrong direction. And he went out away from the father, away from the family, he went away. And he spent everything, verse 14, a severe famine occurred in that country and he began to be impoverished. He realized that he was going. And then we see in verse 15, he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country and he sent to him that he would work in the fields to feed the swine or the pigs. And he would gladly fill his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating and no one was giving anything to him. Verse 16, you know this story. This story is talking about a person who willfully leaves the presence of his father and goes away to a place where he wanted to have his own way of living, his own freedom away from the father. That is the kind of life he was living. He went away. He went away from the father. And here we notice that he realized something in verse 16, verse 17. I like the way in which it's put up in the New American Standard. Maybe in your translations also, it might use the similar kind of words. Verse 17. I read it. Please listen to this carefully. When he came to his senses. Please read it in any other language. Buddhi vachinappudu. There needs to be a point of time where he realized. So the first thing that we can learn, you can note down the heading, you can put it as repent. As part of repentance, what are the steps that are happening? As part of repentance, the first R that you can write down is realize. He came to his senses. What does it say in any other English translation? In verse 17, what does it say? Luke chapter 15, verse 17. When he came to himself, sometimes it's hard to understand such kind of words. Came to himself, meaning he did not realize who he was. He did not realize what he was doing. He did not realize that what he was doing was wrong. Till such time, he thought he was doing him out of his own self. He was doing the things that he wanted to do it out of his own will. Many times we do things out of our own will. We think that we are doing things right. We think that we are doing things for the favor of someone, but we don't realize we are doing things against the will of God. So here, this man, he came to his senses. I like that small phrase. Buddhi vachindi. He realized that what he did was wrong. Repentance is change of mind that leads to change of action, right? We know that. So here in verse 17, we see that he came to his senses. Now he understood that he was doing wrong. Is that sufficient? Is that repentance? No. Just coming to one's senses is not repentance. Many people stop there. They think that what they're doing is wrong and they just keep quiet. They keep to themselves and saying, I did it wrong. And they just try to keep it to themselves. So what did he do? And he came to his senses. He said, how many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread? But I'm dying here with hunger. I will get up and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I will get up and go to my father. You cannot stay in the sin that you are living in. You cannot stay in the place where you have realized that you are doing wrong. What do you do? Please read in verse 18, any other language. 15, 18. Lechi, velli, I have to get up. Don't just sit in the sinful life that we are living. Don't sit in the dead works that we are doing. Enough of it. Get up. I will get up and go to my father. So the second thing that you can note it down is realize, then return. I need to return. I have gone away. I don't know how far I have gone. Maybe few of us have gone a little far. Some of us have gone too far. But still, there is a time for us. There is an opportunity for us to take a U-turn. The longer you are waiting, the more it takes for you to be able to set right everything. Lord, I have done this wrong, this wrong, this wrong, this wrong. Why not now? Why don't you take a U-turn the moment the GPS tells you? You know what GPS is? What does GPS stand for? Global Positioning System. Some of us probably don't even know GPS means GPS. GPS is like a word. Global Positioning System. What does Global Positioning System says? It tells you where you are at a given point of time. The coordinates, latitude and longitude. I work in a satellite-based company. So I'm used to all this lat long and all that. This particular Global Positioning System tells you as to where you are located. The moment you are told that you are not located in the right place, you need to get up. You need to return. In a spiritual world, the GPS is God's positioning system. God's positioning system. Where does God want to position you at a given point of time? Has God put you in a place where you are supposed to be? Or has he been telling you, enough, come out. Come out of it. Get out of it. You need to go back to the right side. The right direction you need to get back onto. And that is what returning is. And what did he do? I will get up, go to my father and tell him I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. First, I have sinned against heaven. More than sinning against people, first we need to realize that our sin is against God. That is repentance. Many people tend to say sorry to each other and they say done with it. But they forget to ask for forgiveness from God. Ask forgiveness from God. I have sinned against heaven and from in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your hired men. This talks about real repentance, true repentance. Not for the sake of it. We have been hearing in the messages and the recently also how the difference between Saul and David was. How their confession or repentance was. One was not a true repentance, Saul's. And David's was a true repentance. It was filled with confession. It was filled with confession. And so here we notice that he not only realized he wanted to return, he had a mind to return and also to be able to reconcile. Reconcile. Reconcile means to connect back. The lost connection has to be re-established. Repentance involves these three. And as it includes these three, there is a point of using confession also. Confession to be able to share to God and say, Lord, I'm sorry for what I have done. I feel so sorry. It is not just out of anything, but it's a heart filled with confession. So here he said that I will do that. He had in his mind that he will go back. He had in his mind that he will reconcile with his dad. But was that sufficient? Just thinking in his mind, making a decision, is that sufficient enough? Just having the mind to do it? No. Now you see, in verse 18, he thought in his mind, I will get up. In verse 20, he got up. Many people, verse 18, they'll think, I'll get up. Why don't you repent? I will get up. People will keep on postponing that. I will get up. They remain in verse 18. They never go to verse 20. Verse 20 is action. Change of mind leading to change of action. I will get up is a mind. Change of mind. Maru manasu. Maru manasulo, you should be able to also take action to come out. Verse 20. He got up and came to his father. He did the job. He took that. He repented. He returned to his dad. And when he returned to his dad, this is what has happened. This is what has happened. He got up, verse 20, and came to his father. And while he was still a long way off, maybe you have gone too far away, my dear. Maybe you have gone too far away. But now you have made the decision to take a U-turn. The moment you take the U-turn, you know what it says here? While he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. What a wonderful rejoining experience this is. The father is not waiting for you to, he'll come. He gone so far away, na? Let him come, let him take his time. No, we have a God who's a compassionate God. Maybe it's been years that we have not been repenting of our sinful nature. Maybe it's been years that we didn't realize that we were going the wrong way. We thought attending the church or doing some work in the church without Christ, we thought that is good works. But if without Christ, anything that you do is dead in the sight of the Lord. Without Christ. So all these years, maybe we've been doing something. We've been thinking that we are giving, we are doing something and trying to gain favor of people. But let me tell you, unless without Christ, without repentance, if you do all of these, they are dead works. They are dead works. And that is what here we see. The moment you turn back, while you are far away, we have a God, such a loving God. He runs to you. He runs to you. Verse 20. He ran and embraced him and kissed him. Maybe he's filled with all the smell of the pigs and the swines and the food that he was working there. He came like that. Maybe externally he was terrible. He was stinking. But internally his heart changed. He returned. The moment he returned, just as he is externally, Father received him. My dear. It is not about whether you are, go wash your clothes and then only I'll embrace you. No. Your heart is changed. That is more than enough for me. I'm ready to receive you. Many times. We think that we need to wash ourselves and then only God will receive us. But it is the heart that God is looking at, my dear. And here we notice that the result of this is that the result. Note it down. When you repent, the result would be, the first thing is, restoration. All the things that you have lost, God wants to restore unto us. We have meditated on the book of Job. Job was going through tough times in his life, and during all his conversations, there were situations where he was cursing his own birthday and many things he was doing, and he was trying to talk many things. And towards the end of Job in chapter 42, it says he repented. He repented. Job chapter 42, it says he repented. The moment he repented, in the same chapter 42, it says God restored everything back to Job. Restoration of the relationship and the fellowship, much more. The fellowship of the Father and the Son was reestablished. The fellowship of God with his people. The fellowship of the family members. Maybe even in your family, about God's relationship is one. Family relationships also. Relationship is there, but no fellowship. When was the last time you embraced each other so lovingly in spite of the wrong things that we might have committed that we came back and said, husband, wife, can we embrace each other? Father, daughter, embrace each other. It is very important that you need to get back to that rejoining or restoration of that fellowship that got lost. When was the last time you had a wonderful family time together? When was the last time? Maybe this is an opportunity for you to be able to recognize, Lord, first of all, with God and with people also. There's a song which says, you know, in Telugu I get reminded, Neeswaramu Vinipinchu Prabhu. In that song, నీతో మనుషులతో సరిచేసుకుందు. వండర్ఫుల్ స్మాల్ టర్మ్. ఇట్ సేస్ విత్ యూ గాడ్ అండ్ విత్ పీపుల్ ఐ విల్ సెట్ రైట్. ఇట్స్ నాట్ జస్ట్ విత్ గాడ్. మెనీ టైమ్స్ వి థింక్ దట్ ఓ మై రిలేషన్షిప్ విత్ గాడ్ ఇస్ గుడ్, మై రిలేషన్షిప్ విత్ గాడ్ ఇస్ గుడ్. హౌ అబౌట్ విత్ పీపుల్? Restoration of the lost connections between each other, very essential, my dear. As you do that, it says in Luke chapter 15, what happened? The restoration was, verse 22, quickly bring out the best robe and put on him, put a ring on his hand, sandals on his feet, get back to that lost things that to be restored as such. And verse 23, bring the fattened calf, kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. The result is restoration, rejoicing. What a wonderful time it would be, family reunion. A lost family member has come back. And what a wonderful reunion that would be. And that is what it would be. There are many words that we could keep putting out. I just put a few words: restore, rejoice, and then the last one is refresh. Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. Repent and return. What does it say? You noted it down. So that your sins may be wiped away. What does it say after that? That the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Refreshing. Refreshing times. It is so refreshing when we repent. And we'll have the presence of God. Times of refreshing comes from the presence of the Lord. Repentance. When we go through the realization, returning and reconciling ourselves, it will result in restoring, rejoicing, and refreshing in our relationship with God, with people. So very important, my dear. God wants every one of us to go through this experience. Maybe you have never accepted Jesus as your personal Savior. If you see Luke chapter 19, it talks about a man by name Zacchaeus. Jesus goes to his house, and the moment Zacchaeus realizes that Jesus Christ He is the Savior of the world. When the moment he realizes that he himself has been doing the dead works, he immediately says, I will give away. Half of my possession, I will give to the poor. I will have defrauded anyone. I will give back four times as much. And he not only had a change of mind, but also a change of action. Whatever he was doing in terms of getting the money, now he is giving back the money. There is a change in his life. There is a change in his lifestyle. Repentance is a lifestyle change. Many times people say, oh, I was born in a Christian family, so there's not much of a difference between my life before Christ and life after Christ. Lifestyle change. Can we see the lifestyle change, the way in which you are living? The fruit of repentance, is it there in your life? Can people see? See, Zacchaeus was able to show forth his changed life in action. In action. Heart change results in life change. Family members can see a difference. And they say, oh, what a wonderful experience this is that we can see here. And it is God's desire for us not to perish. But he wants every one of us to come to repentance. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Please read verse 9. 2 Peter 3, 9. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but all to come to repentance. Please read. ఎవడనూ నశింపక అందరూ మారు మనసు పొందవలని కోరుచు. హీస్ డిజైర్ ఈజ్ ఫర్ ఆల్ టు కమ్ టు రిపెంటెన్స్. దట్ ఆల్ ఇంక్లూడ్స్ యూ. దట్ ఆల్ ఇంక్లూడ్స్ యువర్ పీపుల్ హూమ్ యూ నో యూ హీన్ ప్రేయింగ్ ఫార్. హిస్ డిజైర్ ఈజ్ ఆల్ టు కమ్ టు రిపెంటెన్స్. బట్ నాట్ మెనీ పీపుల్ ఆర్ రియలైజింగ్. There are not many people who are really recognizing that. There are two kinds of sorrows. I just want to share and close. Two kinds of sorrows. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 10. Please read anyone. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10. Godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. Godly sorrow. And there is another sorrow. What does it say? Please read. But the sorrow of the world produces death. There are two kinds of sorrows. Many people go through the sorrow or feel sorry in other sense. Sorrow, sorry. Probably they are related. I don't know. Well, maybe I need to look into the original way in which the word sorry has come. Sorrow. Godly sorrow and worldly sorrow. People, there are people who feel bad for what they have done wrong. But the godly sorrow, which is accordance to God's will, it will result in repentance leading to salvation. And the worldly sorrow doesn't have anything. It will lead to death. Please read in any other language, verse 10. Daiva chittanusaranamaina dukkamu rakshanardamaina marumanasu. Meaning the repentance that leads to salvation. Yes. Loka sambandhamaina dukkamu maranamu sambhavinchunu. Meaning worldly sorrow will result in death. I'll give you an example. Probably in the recent meetings also we have heard Judas Iscariot. He realized that he was doing wrong. He realized and he took those 30 coins and tried to throw it away against the people where he took it from. But you know what happened? It was a worldly sorrow. Worldly sorrow. He felt bad. But that worldly sorrow led to death. He committed suicide. Many people, they know that they have done wrong. You know what they do? Oh, I have done wrong. I don't know what to do. They go commit suicide. Worldly sorrow results in death. But godly sorrow, like Peter, what did he do? He realized, he confessed, he cried so much so that it resulted in his ministry that had led to many people come to know Christ. And that is how the life changed as such. So you see the difference here. Godly sorrow and worldly sorrow. I want to close with this particular small story. A Native American and a white man were deeply moved by the same sermon. Same sermon. A Native American and a white man. Both were deeply moved by the same sermon. That very night, the Native American received Jesus as his savior. But for days together, the white man refused to accept Christ. At last, that white man too repented and enjoyed the sweet peace of having his sins forgiven. It took time, but finally, the second man also received Jesus Christ. Later, he asked his Native American friend, "Why did it take me so long while you responded right away?" You know, a lot of people tend to take time. "My brother," the Native American replied, "I can best explain it by this little story. At one time, a rich prince wished to give each one of us a new coat. You shook your head and replied, 'I don't think so. Mine looks good enough. I don't need your coat.' When he made the same offer to me, I looked at my old blanket and said, 'This is good for nothing,' and gratefully accepted the beautiful garment immediately. You wouldn't give up your own righteousness, but knowing that I had no goodness of my own, I immediately received the Lord Jesus and his righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." This man, he realized his nature. He realized his sinful nature. But there are many people who think that they have enough. They don't need Christ. For such people, it is taking very long time to receive Christ. But one day they should receive Christ. That's our prayer. His desire is that all to come to repentance. All to come to repentance. Maybe, I don't know which category you're falling under. Maybe you're thinking, "I'm good. I don't need the righteousness of God because my righteousness is good enough." Maybe it's taking very long time. Or the time has come for us to realize, return, and reconcile. And for that, Christ Jesus came into this world in order to be able to give his life for us on the cross of Calvary. And let our sins be forgiven. All he's saying is, you don't need to do anything other than have a change of mind and change of your heart in such a way that there is a change of your actions and your behavior and your lifestyle as well. You don't need to do, you don't need to sacrifice bulls, etc. because Christ became that sacrifice for us. Let us repent and come back to His presence. May the Lord bless this word. As we close our eyes and reflect upon what we have heard today, I'm asking you, my dear brother or sister, maybe we have been hearing a lot of sermons related to many things that we want to hear, but maybe this is a sermon that you never thought you would want to hear, but the Lord has put this in your heart, in your ears, to hear about repentance. Because without this, anything else has no value. This is like a base, foundation, punadi. This is a base. If you do not have repentance, what do you want to do? What are you expecting from God? What are you expecting from God? He's telling, give me your heart. Come back to me. Don't just change your mind, but change your heart. Change your actions. Come back to me. And when you come back to me, then talk to me about the things that you want me to talk. And for those of us who have already taken that U-turn, what is your next step? What is your next step? Maybe we need to wait and see as to what we can learn, what the next step is. With all the situations that we are going through in our lives, sometimes it's good for us to be able to get back to basics. Just to be able to make sure whether we have our foundation right. Because if we start building our house without a proper foundation, thinking that, oh, the house is being built so well, it will be like a house built upon a sand, not on a rock. We need to have strong foundation, my dear. And these are essential, elementary principles. You may not hear this very often, but I think we need to get back to these basics in order to be able to go forward in our Christian life. Maybe we have not been growing well enough, probably because we didn't lay a proper foundation. Maybe the time has come for us to lay a proper foundation. As we examine ourselves in the light of the Word of God, if the Lord is reminding us of certain things that have happened in our lives, maybe in this last week, maybe yesterday, maybe today morning, I don't know. Maybe certain things that we were not supposed to be doing, but we did. Maybe there are things that we are not supposed to think or act or talk, we spoke. Are we trying to justify what we have done? Are we trying to give excuses? Are we trying to give justification statements to say, I did this because this has happened to me in my life, that is why I did it? No, enough. Let us take the responsibility of what we have been doing and take the realization to the point of returning to Him. Turn to Him. Turn to Him. And when you turn to Him, just like the Father ran to Him to embrace Him, He's ready to do that, my dear. He's ready to do that. Even in your personal lives, even in your family lives, maybe you're missing that closeness in your relationship with God and relationship with each other. Oh, my dear, let us be able to make sure we are right in the sight of God and we set right with people also. When we take part in the table that is set before us, the Bible says, if there is anyone who has something against you, first make sure you reconcile with that person and come and offer your gift at the altar. So let us be able to examine ourselves in the light of the Word of God and set right. Before we give anything or we participate in anything, let's make sure with a repentant heart. Maybe you have accepted Christ already. Maybe there are unconfessed sins in our lives. Maybe we are thinking we are righteous. Let me tell you, it is only the righteousness of God that we can rely upon, not ours. As we take part in the Lord's table, if the Lord is pointing at certain incidents, certain conversations, certain topics, certain places, if the Lord is reminding us, let us not be disobedient to the voice of the Lord. Let us correct ourselves and say, Lord, I repent. When you say I repent, it is not just feeling sorry. It is being able to feel sorry, yes, but also take the U-turn, come back to Him, and set right all the things that went wrong.